Welcome to Center for Spiritual Living, Colorado Springs. I'm Reverend Norm Bouchard, Senior Minister. Thank you for joining our service today. We are so excited to share our community with you. You are joining with so many other people from all around the world who are all part of our virtual community. I'll be back with you at the end of the service to share with you many other resources and classes and podcasts and workshops and tools that will open you for a way to live your best life yet. Right now, I just invite you to sit back, open up your heart and your mind, and enjoy.
It is my honor and privilege, once again, to introduce Rev Barb Bew. She is a former senior minister at CSL Northern Colorado. She is the director for field services for Centers for Spiritual Living, our home office. Things that she is absolutely passionate about is traveling. One place is to France, where she has a home. And she absolutely believes that this teaching is going to change the world. Please help me in welcoming Reverend Bew.
Thank you, sir. I can't be back there. Just can't be back there. Yeah, so she mentioned that I retired from my pulpit, sort of retired, I guess, about 6 months ago, and I thought I was never going to have to start a Sunday where people died, which kind of changes everything in what you think you're going to do. And to find it here today. So I read that, and then I left Fort Collins this morning early, and I was looking out over the mountains. It was very clear this morning as the sun was coming up, and you could see where that phrase, purple mountains majesty, came from. And I thought, man, we have this thing here where we say that all people are created equal. And we know in our teaching that all people are absolutely the manifestations of the one life, one spirit, one God. And yet we still have places where we teach our children to hate. And I heard somebody, I was listening to NPR to find out what's going on, and I heard somebody say something about people being equal regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of gender expression. And I thought, when can we lose regardless? And we can just say all people are created equal, manifestations of the one life, one love, one God. And there's no other question. It's period. And so I want to take a moment in silence this morning. I looked it up. Club Q is 6 minutes from here, this sacred space. And I know that you know that this space is sacred and that you feel that. I believe that you feel that when you walk in here. When I walk into this room, it's always what I feel here. And what I know is that while you may think that it's a gay club and that doesn't involve you, it's actually a place where people gather in community and dance. Like here, where people gather in community and dance. And so I want to ask you this morning to take this feeling into this moment, this feeling of this sacred space, and extend it out around that building as well. And I want you to hold these people, their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And I want to hold those first responders whose lives will never be the same after walking into that. And let's just hold them in the arms of grace. Thank you. And so my job today is to talk about gratitude. Such timing is everything. But I want to say first, you know, it's always an honor to be here. I have so much love and respect for this community and for Reverend Norm. He's a longtime dear friend of mine. I did remember that the last time I was here, it's been a few years actually, I had a giant hot flash on the stage and had to like rip my clothes off. I don't think that's going to happen today, even if I do have one. I'm hoping those days are done, but you just never know. So Reverend Norm asked me to share his love with you. I saw him last week, and he's doing good. He'll be doing good. You know, and he asked me to tell you, most of you know, he had a gallbladder thing a bit ago, and he's been having some trouble with some stents that they put in his stomach, and they haven't been holding up the way they're supposed to hold up. And so he's a lovely shade of yellow, which I'm sure he'll appreciate me sharing with you. Friday, they put some drains in to take care of it. So he should be home tomorrow. And he needs to rest this week. He did ask me to ask you to hold this knowing of his wholeness and his well-being and to see him here doing what he does, right? With so much gusto. But not to call him this week. He needs to rest, and Scott's frankly pretty worn out. And I'm going to tell you this, even though he's going to give me hell for it if he does happen to watch the recording. I know that this sanctuary is amazing for Christmas, right? Have anybody helped decorate it before? So here's what I'm going to tell you. Norm's not supposed to lift anything, like barely his fork for a little while. And so I'm just going to leave that right here in this room and know that you all are going to take care of that. Okay? Okay. So gratitude as everyday spirituality. I kept changing it to gratitude as everyday wonder on my slides. So there we go. Gratitude as everyday spirituality was actually what he handed me. But it's such a full and rich topic. And it's really been an interesting journey experience for me recently. I've spent some time on this before Norm even asked me to speak today in another one of those coincidental things. Because it's really come to me that gratitude is a evolving and evolutionary inward journey. That just like every aspect of spiritual growth happens to be. So I'm going to begin with what I call what I'm going to call now the attitude of gratitude, platitude. And I think I should write this book. In New Thought, you know, we're really good at coming up with like one-liners that are supposed to fix everything, right? Have an attitude of gratitude, and all these things will come to your life, and your problems will go away, and you'll be rich and famous, and all the things. And sadness and will be cured because you have an attitude of gratitude. And that is just bonkers. And so what we do is we work at it. We work and we work and we work and we look for things to be grateful for. Like it's out there someplace waiting to be grabbed off a shelf. And we blame ourselves if we aren't feeling it. And so, you know, we're in these moments. I just crashed my car, but I'm going to look for something to be grateful for. Anyone else do that ever? There's got to be something to be grateful for. You know, at least I didn't get hurt, and at least I didn't have insurance, so I'll be grateful that at least. And I thought, wow, you know, we got to give ourselves those moments of sadness and grief sometimes, and really just be okay with the full spectrum of human emotion and experience and find where we're grateful for that life experience no matter what it looks like. You know, we don't have to build a condo in that place of grief and sadness. That's not required. But we can give ourselves a break now and again. And I realized that starting we often start this gratitude practice from a place that feels like getting. If I'm grateful, if I have this attitude of gratitude, I'm going to get things. I'm going to get stuff. I'm going to get experiences. I'm going to get things mostly. It's first kingdom consciousness that tells us that being grateful will bring more to be grateful about. Anyone ever heard that? I've preached it. Sorry. And you know what? It's often true, actually, as we expand our consciousness beyond that, what we call first kingdom experience. I have given more than one talk about how I switched gratitude to the word appreciation because appreciation, things that appreciate grow in value. Like that's what our gratitude practice is supposed to be about, is growing things in value. And we always make it so much work. The more I do this internally, the more I settle into this place where I feel like everything is about becoming. It is about becoming kinder, becoming more joyful, becoming more compassionate, becoming more in love with everything and all of it. You know, we come together in spiritual community both to lift each other up and to rub each other's edges off, right? Or maybe that's just me that finds sometimes there's a person at church that's annoying. None of you have that? Okay. Sometimes it's just me. But gratitude, what if gratitude wasn't an avenue to getting? What if it is an avenue to receiving? What if it's an avenue to receiving? Because, you know, so I'm a little bit of a word nerd, and so dictionary.com tends to be one of my go-to places. And so I look these two up, because words are powerful. Getting is defined as to cause to be in one's possession or to obtain. Receiving is to have something bestowed. Sit with that for a second. The feeling of receiving and having something bestowed. Now, we have to understand that to receive this way requires us to be open to being and be receptive. We have to be open to be receptive. And what I've come to understand is that being open sometimes means being a little vulnerable, which has been a four-letter word in most of my life. Again, no one else. You're all super vulnerable and really easy about that. I could call any one of you up here right now to talk about that, and you'd be comfortable. We have to be a little vulnerable and a lot more authentic in our life, which is not as easy as it sounds. And I thought, what if all the things, all the emotions, all of it, the purple mountains, all of it, already is? Without getting, without making it more valuable, what if it already is? All that and more. Maybe it's just waiting for us to understand. So what, I try to like not plop things out in the room and not give an avenue to them. So, what does an inward journey towards gratitude as a space of receiving look like? You're asking, right? Glad. This really began to land for me differently recently. A friend asked me, oddly, near my birthday, what my favorite word was. She was going to make me something, because I was having a tantrum about this being the last year of my 50s. So, you know, I kind of started with the usual things in my head. Joy, gratitude, grateful, peace, love, foofy, la-la. Which is really not, they weren't holding, you know? All those words, they just weren't holding. And so I sat with it for a little bit. Well, I sort of sat with it. I was painting the door frame. But, you know, this is a good motion for thinking inwardly. And the word that came to me is wonder. And the word that landed for me in this is wonder. Wonder is defined as to be filled with admiration, amazement, or awe. Admiration, amazement, or awe. That's a good, actually, it's a little good chant, right? Ken could probably write a song right now about that. Attitude, admiration, amazement, awe. AAA. So the shift, for me at least, and I hope something to give you to wonder about, is that gratitude began to feel like seeking, and wonder feels like allowing. I love wonder because it can be two different things. It can be looking out at the beautiful mountain range that I keep talking about this morning and being in wonder at the absolute majesty of this place that we live, where people come on vacation. It can be a place of curiosity. I wonder what's happening. I wonder why this is happening. I wonder what I can do to be the change in the world. So I see the giant banner in the back of the room. Maya Angelou said, "This is a wonderful day. I have never seen this one before." And I was like, wow, I didn't actually find this until I was writing yesterday, and I'm going to hang it on my mirror or something. There's such a difference in these things. I can look outside and say, I am looking, searching for things to be grateful about today. You know, and I don't know about you, but I've had a gratitude practice for quite a while. And it's my wife and I do this every morning. Like, what are you grateful for? And it's become a little bit like the same things. And so I think this week I'm going to change it to, what are we in wonder about today? Because the gratitude thing, it's often we're looking for something to be grateful for. We are looking for things to be grateful for rather than being in wonder at what we might receive in the day. And we receive so much in every single day. And mostly, you know, we just go through it without stopping to pause and think about it very much. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty busy person. You know, I've come to realize that often we answer the question, how are you, with busy. And it's not really an answer to how are you, right? So maybe if we spend a little time in wonder, we could slow that a little bit. I mean, there's still things to do, but we could slow it in our minds just a little bit and go, this is a wonderful day. I have never seen this before. And if you don't like that one, Einstein supposedly said. Now, I understand there's some quotes that are attributed to Einstein that maybe he didn't say, but I think he said this one. He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes already closed. I actually changed it to say, those who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe are as good as dead. Their eyes are closed. Because the thing is, we don't have to create wonder. Wonder already is. It lives in you. It lives around you. It lives through you. It can, if you're willing and vulnerable enough to let that flow through you. And so here we are. We're headed into Thanksgiving week. Now, Thanksgiving week is like a really sacred holiday in my family. And because we get together, we eat. Like, what's wrong with that? And we like each other. So I tend to think of Thanksgiving as this long weekend to set the tone for my entire experience through the holidays. Because I've had the years where I've done the crazy holiday thing, you know? Run as fast as you can. Christmas is going to be in, oh my gosh, I didn't look it up. How many days? Somebody flip that up on your phone. So it lets, setting this in at Thanksgiving, and maybe you join me in this, setting this tone in Thanksgiving just sort of sets the tone for the whole month for me, the whole following month. So I thought maybe you would join me in a little affirmation about this. Let's try it three times. You want to do it?
Yes.
All right. This is a wonder-filled day. My life is wonderful. My family is wonderful. My holidays are wonderful. My CSLCS is wonderful. This is a wonder-filled day. My life is wonderful. My family is wonderful. My holidays are wonderful. My CSLCS is wonderful. This is a wonder-filled day. My life is wonderful. My family is wonderful. My holidays are wonderful. My CSLCS is wonderful. Now, you don't have to strive for that. You can actually sit in it and allow yourself to receive the idea that every moment of your day, your month, your holiday season, your life can be filled with wonder if you choose to receive it and sit in it and anchor in it and be in it and allow it. Allowing is a big word, right? Now I have a little story for you. I have to read it because it's that kind of story. It's from a really old book called The Prize by, I don't know if you remember, Flavia Weedon. She was kind of a, I don't know where she went. But this story, it's a holiday story, but it, for me, brings about this idea of the wonder of things. She writes, the calendar claimed November, but summer had designed the day. She lives in California, not here, in this room. Anyway, anybody need to move a little bit right now? Want to move a little bit before I read the story? Okay, come on, do it. Warm up a little. I know. Da, da, da. This is going to look ridiculous on the video. Da, 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 da. The calendar claimed November, but summer had designed the day. We drove along the coast, my mother and I, both marveling at the people who could steal time from Wednesdays to sit on the beach. Maybe it was the magic of the California sun or the surfers or the hot dog signs, but an hour later, as we walked along the sidewalks, even the store windows and the city signs couldn't make me think of anything beyond how golden and how warm the day. But once we had entered the store and closed the big wooden door behind us, quite abruptly, all signs of summer disappeared. Maybe she was here. Anyway. Strangely and suddenly, we were standing in a world filled with Christmas. The air was actually a winter's chill and heavy with the scent of pine and of maple, of cinnamon sticks, and the earthy potpourri smells of Christmas. Christmas trees stood tall and proud, each one reaching for the high wooden beams of the ceiling, each one heavily adorned with bangles and beads, wooden figures and fabric fancies, tiny toys and silver bells, each one selling Christmas. The hum of people's conversations mixed together with the sounds of many footsteps. Decisions of what to buy for whom were overshadowed by the beauty that engulfed the room. My mother and I became part of the crowd, very like everyone else, a little lost in the magic of the room and in our own personal reflections of Christmas's past. When we left the store and walked to the car, we each carried one of the store's white printed bags, each filled with remnants of the Christmas we'd found. Inside mine, carefully wrapped in tissue, was a gift for her, and in my mother's, a gift for me. On the quiet ride back, we relaxed. My mother mentioned how hot the late afternoon sun, I noticed the stragglers lingering on the beach. As the road turned away from the coast toward home, the eucalyptus trees appeared on our right. The silhouettes of their blue-gray form stood in all their glory against the burnt orange of the sky. But up close, their shapes seemed tired and old, like forgotten people standing lonely in an empty field. I stopped the car when we saw the piles of dried branches and boughs that had fallen from the trees. They lay gray and still as they beckoned through the patterned streaks of sunshine that spread over the ground. We began to gather great bunches of twigs, my mother and I. Two women, ankle deep in broken leaves and branches. Two women stumbling and giggling in soft gray dirt by the side of the busy highway, filling our arms and then the trunk of the car with dusty twigs. Time eluded us. We were children again as we stepped over and reached through and laughed while bits of the twigs we gathered clung to our clothing. While we loaded the car, we spoke of wrapping bunches of twigs with giant cloth ribbons and giving them as Christmas gifts, gifts of gathered firewood to burn on Christmas Eve. Whatever Christmas time magic that each of us had personally felt as children had actually returned. I watched my mother's face and saw how her eyes belied her age as they smiled back at me. I felt a surge of warmth within me as I realized that for these few moments in time, we had managed to melt away years. We were as two young friends sharing the spontaneity of a rare and beautiful experience. And without opening any store tissue or printed paper bags, we were exchanging gifts with one another. We had found Christmas, my mother and I, not in that shiny store, but here and now in this field. And these gifts to each other we would keep forever, for they were not found in the twigs, but in the gathering. So here is what I hold for you. May this be a season of gathering. May your life reflect the wonder that lives within you. May the wonder in you be like a child's, whose eyes reflect the lights and magic of the season. May you find spaces of gathering together in all of the light and love that you can possibly hold. And may you wonder at the joy within you. Peace be with you today and with your city and our town and our state. Thank you. That's always so awkward. How about pray with me? This day, as I wonder at it all, I wonder at the joy, I wonder at the sadness, I wonder at the mountains, I wonder at what needs to heal within us as a people, as individual people, as a country, as a world. I wonder about how it will all unfold. And yet as I breathe and I know this connection, this space where we are all absolutely connected with each other, to each other, in this divine soup, I know absolutely that peace is who we are. I know absolutely that love is who we are. I know and declare absolutely that this healing that is required of us at this time and this place on this planet comes forth from each and every one of us as it is called for, and we let it out and we let it do its work and we heal this stuff. I know today these absolute arms of grace around all these people. And I know these arms of grace and love and well-being I call forth. I know absolutely the well-being of Reverend Norm and that he is moving right now, this day, into that place of health and joy and love that expresses through him so greatly. There is no hope. There is no doubt. There is absolutely our word of his well-being. The same is true for each and every one of us. The same is true for each and every one of any of us who might be experiencing anything out of alignment in our body, in our soul, in our mind. I call forth a healing that drops the word regardless. And I know that we know, and that we stand together in the place of knowing that we are all divine creations of God. Period. I sit in it. I stew in it. I feel it. I let it make me mad. I let it make me sad. I let it make me frustrated. And yet, I wonder at the knowing that this too shall pass and we must heal. All the divides, all the isms that our children and our grandchildren already know better, get to tell us the truth, because they already know better. Peace is possible in our lifetime. I give thanks for this opportunity to share today. I give thanks for this, oh my God, this community, this you. I hope you know how incredible this community is. I know you do. I give thanks for the Purple Mountain's majesty. I give thanks for the knowing of this, of the teachings, of this truth, of this thing I do know will change the world, which is this knowing that we are all absolutely divine emanations of the one life, one love, one God, and it is time to act like it. If you want to hold, claim, declare, be with me in any part of this prayer, please do so by saying, and so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our virtual community today. I hope you enjoyed our service. We realize that you have many choices in your spiritual quest, and for that very reason, we want you to explore our community. Have you ever had the feeling that you want more out of life, more prosperity, more of who you are called to be? Well, you have found the right place. We at Center for Spiritual Living Colorado Springs teach a powerful set of spiritual principles that have continued to change so many people's lives for the better. Imagine living the changes you want to see in the world without fear or guilt or past experiences. We invite people through classes and podcasts and workshops, services, and personal spiritual development to discover how powerful and prosperous you really are. Our resources are available in person or virtual. Check out our website, and I invite you to engage in all of our resources. Join us in creating your best life yet. I look forward to seeing you again and again.